Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
And I'm Phil Fettner.
Honestly.
Bigger, stronger than ever.
Well, that's interesting you've just said that, dear listeners, because he's just told me that he's got no air in his lungs.
Have had a little bit of an air problem, but we'll get there.
Hey, listen to this, dear listeners. This is how good he is. He was asked to umpire next Monday, and he said, I don't think I can because I haven't got enough oxygen.
No, that's not quite right. I said, I can. If you need me, I can, but I prefer not to because I said I'm still just a bit so COVID unfriendly.
So what I actually did, good listeners, is I rang up the bloke who looked after Meatloaf, who had the oxygen cylinder on the side of the stage, and I've got one ready for
him. You too, wouldn't it? Hey?
Anyway, let's talk
after
about
last week's program, eh?
How?
I fell asleep. Fell asleep listening to it.
Oh, it's probably because you probably couldn't understand.
I sent it down the age care down here, and they had a little bit of a laugh.
Yeah, that's not funny at all. All right, let's go. BLNG footy.
BLNG footy this week, Rick. Without me this week.
What do you mean without you?
Well, I was going to be umpiring, but I can't. I'm not. I pulled out.
Jesus, there'd be a few broken-hearted people there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was a Monday game too. Big clash it would have been.
Yes.
So this week we've got the light clash out there at Freeling. Freeling versus Kapunda.
Well, if you look at Freeling, I mean, nothing's changed except they're back in the competition. Kapunda will win that comfortably.
Agree. Yep.
They've got real problems.
Yeah. There's, you know, no depth. And as we've seen, you know, we've seen enough of Freeling. There's no depth out there. The B grade are struggling. Colts.
Well, the thing, I'm not sure whether we mentioned it on the show, but I had a discussion with someone recently who explained the Freeling situation, and it made some degree of sense that despite the housing development and everything,
yep,
they're still sort of, as it were, umpteen X years away. The problem, it was suggested by this gentleman who I was talking to, was they don't have a school. And so all the kids go to Kapunda or
Be Newry. A high school, though. There's a primary school, isn't there?
No, there's no school.
Oh, I thought there's a primary school.
Now, the thing is that probably those kids go to, let's say, Newry, and their friends play at Newry, so they're playing at Newry with their mates rather than, you know, I mean, I don't know whether
Surely
it makes a lot
most
of sense.
Most of them go to Kapunda, wouldn't they? It'd be closer to Newry, wouldn't it?
Well, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean, the point is that you seriously, over the last few years, I mean, it's not as though Freeling is
I thought they had a primary school out there.
Well,
I know they haven't got a high school, Kapunda High.
Well,
half of that got burnt down last week, didn't it?
Well, yes, but that's not going to. You're being very mischievous.
No, just saying.
The reality is, to me, it makes sense. We're not, even if they've got a primary school, it's not primary school kids we're worried
about. No, it's got to be that bit older age.
And it's, at the moment, the kids are attracted to playing footy.
Yep.
With their mates.
Yep.
And their mates are playing somewhere other than Freeling.
Yep.
And so, and to me, that's the problem. If you look right down to your junior cults and whatever, that none of them are getting a kick. And it's probably because they haven't got any players.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I didn't realise. I thought there was a Freeling primary school, but that's all right. Okay, so the next game, Barossa versus Tanunda, Rick.
Tanunda
for me. Next game will be a beauty. It's on the Monday. It's the Anzac Day clash. Newry versus Angaston at Newry.
Yes, that'll be an interesting game. I mean, I've seen Ango, and I thought they were a little bit disappointing, but it's very early in the year and we've had another break and all that. And I haven't seen Newry. I think simply on past, and really there's no reason to judge it on the past, I'm going to go Angaston.
I'm going Newry because the first week when I tipped them, they played South. They only went down by about 4 or 5 goals. They had both the Bentleys out, had COVID, had about 3 or 4 others out with COVID. They've all come back and they won quite comfortably. It was a week over.
So how come they've come back and they've got oxygen in their lungs and you haven't?
Probably age. So I'm going Newry there, out on the home deck too, out there at Newry Park. And the last one, Central versus South at Gawler Central at the dog track.
Well, you've got it. I mean, Central looked in the Central in the first half against Willesden were shocking. I mean, they were both shocking. It's one of the worst halves of football I've ever seen in my life. In the second half, and in the last quarter, there was a shootout, 7-6 or something. But I can't imagine on what I saw, Gawler Central getting close to South.
No, I've got to agree with you, Rick. I was on my COVID bed watching that game, and I've got to admit, I lost interest. I ended up watching Langhorne Creek and Mount Compass or somebody in the second half, because that game, it was a shocking game.
Well, it was a shocking game. It did, I will admit that it did get better in the second half. Now, that's beyond explanation. You'd think things would deteriorate, but they actually got better. But anyway.
Yeah, I didn't see the last half. I've got to admit, I lost a bit of interest there, Rick. Right, that's our local tips all it done. I think I'm well ahead of you in those local tips too, Rick.
I'm just giving you a chance by starting slowly. That's all.
Yep.
That's all.
Fair enough.
Not a problem. I wouldn't get too confident if I was.
Rick. Season over for Rory Sloane, and I tell you what, Port not far behind. that was the headline in Monday's advertiser, Tuesday's advertiser, whatever day we got there. Monday advertiser.
Well, I think that summed it up pretty
well. Spot on.
I wonder, now, are you still a member or not?
Yeah, still a member.
You're still a member?
Going this week, and I will watch their first victory week, Rick.
I did a little bit of research, all right?
Yep.
Now, listen to this. You ready?
Yes.
I am quoting now. This isn't alleged. I am quoting. Port Adelaide will win a premiership, and more than once it is going to win one, and that Port were coming for the rest of the competition. You'd never guess who said that, would you?
Not Kenny.
Kenny said that at the 2019 club's best and
fairest. Good on him.
Now, not only did he say it then, but are you ready for this? This is what he said at the 2020 presentation. That he had no doubt, quote, the group of players he had would break through and win a premiership, and that we want to be great, and our journey has just started, and this team is going to go a long, long way and win a flag. More than once, it is going to win. He's right on the money.
Win. 18th to top. That's going to be a hell of a coaching feat, this one, isn't it?
Well, he's right on.
And it doesn't matter when you lose your five
in a row. No,
doesn't matter.
He said in his first year, they won five lost five.
Doesn't matter when you lose those five. Hell, I tell you what, I'd rather be 5-0 than 0-5.
Well, to be honest, I could not believe how bad they were in that first half.
Didn't see it, Rick. I've got to be honest.
They were absolutely shocking. And, you know, I mean, I guess the true believer, and Kenny as well, will try and take something out of the second half and say, well, we've given them a 50-point start and we've got within 4 points or 3 points or whatever it was.
Yep.
However, what they don't take into account in that is that Carlton's track record, that's the third time they've stopped.
Yeah.
So it may well be, despite what the coach says, Kenny, that the boys did well to hang in, it may well be that Carlton just stopped, for the third time.
Vossi might have taken some of Kenny's coaching
with him.
tricks with him.
Well, I'll make a big statement now on this podcast.
Yep.
Right. If Port can't beat West Coast this Anzac weekend, then they might as well wave the flag.
Oh, I think they've got to wave it now. They're gone. But as I rang you on the weekend from my COVID bed still, not that I want to harp on that. But I changed my tip for a simple reason. They had to win that. They had to win it.
Yes.
They had to win that game. And unbeknownst to me, they were 50 points down at half time. I didn't know that. And I went out to the car and just had a quick listen on the radio. and it was about 5 minutes to go, and they were 9 points down, and somebody kicked the goal, and then Amine had a shot from about 50-odd metres out where he was never going to make this. We needed a lead. Where's our forwards?
Well,
why wouldn't they lead?
Again, we've said this on the show a number of times, and it's got to be, it's got to boil down to the coaching staff. There has not been, not just this year, not just last year, but for you, there is no plan in going forward. There's no, I don't care whether Charlie Dixon's there or Father Christmas.
Yeah.
There's no.
Is he available?
There's no attempt to create space to let someone lead to a space.
I mean, they said, Amon lining up, he's ran all day, chased whoever he was standing all day around the oval everywhere. He's not going to make the distance. And they were dead right. He was about 3 or 4 metres, and they thumped the ball through. Well, they wasted the clock down, and that was the end of the game.
Well, the reality is nothing's changed. Without trying to be too negative, the fact is that Kenny's in charge, right? He is the senior coach, and nothing's changed in all the years that he's been there. So it's not going to change again in 6 months. So that's where, you know, the buck has to stop somewhere.
Yeah, yep. No, it's very disappointing. And, you know, anyway, we've got to get on. We better move on, I suppose.
Well, now, Phil, look, you're the umpiring expert.
Don't even get me started.
Now, come on. What's going on with umpiring in the AFL?
What's these 50 metres? I mean, they're not even abusing the umpire. All they're doing is it here? Putting their hands up in the air, and they're getting penalised for that.
Well, they are.
I mean, it's the old saying, Rick, earn respect, don't demand it.
Well, look, I couldn't agree with you. You've said that perfectly. I personally think the big problem is that the AFL generally and all other associations, for far too long, they let players disrespectfully treat umpires.
Yep.
Now, that's resulted in a couple of things, and the one that's really hit the fan is no one wants to umpire.
Oh.
And so what the AFL has said, which if you did it correctly, you couldn't argue with, is that they've brought in rules to say, right, we're going to crack down on player behaviour.
Yep.
But they've gone from the frying pan into the fire.
Oh, just ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
You know, and it's a bit like the overgrown parking inspector. You know, the umpire's got a uniform on. They've given him the right to give 50 penalties out like chocolates at Easter time. And it's just a joke.
Well, straight away, there's my argument. There shouldn't be 50s. Should be just a 25-metre penalty.
Well, but you see, again,
50's too big a penalty, yeah. Rick.
But again, I don't know why the AFL is simply not prepared to look at other codes, other associations.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a 25-metre penalty in Sandford, in country leagues. The ball out on the out of
actually,
bounds.
Actually, I'm liking that. I umpired that for the first time the first week.
It's
didn't even know the rule was in, and they just told me before the game. I said, okay, no worries.
A man of your ability.
That was great.
Of course it is.
That's great. Speeds the game up. No one argues. Yeah. Boom. And kick it in, mate. You know, away you go.
It probably, again, I think it's the third time I've said it. I reckon I've said this on the podcast somewhere along the line, that to the best of my knowledge, Australian rules football is the only code of any sport where you're not up until now in some association, that you're not penalised if you're the last one to touch the ball when it goes out.
And, I mean, that's how ridiculous are some of their calls? You might as well have that, just bring that rule in.
Of course.
Because they're making themselves look like tools, some of those calls. The ball bounces at a right angle and goes out. He had no intention to put the ball out. I mean, you know, it's an oval football, and it's going to bounce funny.
But the reality is, if you just brought the rule in, whether it's soccer,
it takes the pressure off that umpire making a stupid decision.
If I'm in the middle of thrashing you on the tennis court, Phil,
wouldn't happen.
And you hit the ball out, it's out.
Yeah, unless I call it in. Would have been out before you did it.
But the reality is, it's a good rule.
I know. Yeah, I agree.
And what's more, it's reduced. I would actually argue that the, inverted commas, the ugliest thing in Australian football is 2 7-foot gorillas hugging each other at a boundary throwing. And every now and again, for no good reason, an umpire will give one of them a free and neither one knows who it's to.
Yeah, and half the time it should have been the other guy. Exactly. If they showed it.
So if you get rid of the, I think.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I can't agree with you more. And the umpiring standard has been terrible.
Oh, absolutely. The other thing I've got to get rid of, and I, you know, history for history's sake, to put it bluntly, excuse the expression, listeners, it's crap. Get rid of that centre bounce and throw.
Yeah, why do they keep bouncing?
Well, only for history.
6 out of 10 or 7 out of 10 are getting recalled in that centre.
And the reality is that for the rest of the game, you throw it up. So throw that one up as well.
And then they stuff the first one up and they throw the next one up in here. I mean, what's that?
Oh.
I don't know. But anyway, we could go on here for days, listeners.
Well, we could.
And we won't, because we're going to do our tips for this week, Rick.
We are.
GWS versus St Kilda.
St Kilda
for me. Western Bulldogs versus Adelaide.
Western Bulldogs.
Western Bulldogs for me. Port versus West Coast.
Port Adelaide will win.
I beg your pardon? Your team, West Coast. Port for me. Are you going Port?
Hang on. I'm going Port. Except I reserve judgment.
Yes.
Until I see the West Coast team.
Okay, that's fair enough.
You whinge about your COVID. West Coast have got a genuine reason for whinging about COVID.
Yeah, half my age, though. Frio versus Carlton.
Frio will win.
Yeah, I like Frio. They look all right.
They do. They do look good. And I think, despite the fact that Carlton have done well, the fact that three of the
big improvers, aren't they?
They are for half a game, but they've stopped and been far enough ahead to win.
I meant Frio. Frio. I like Frio.
Yeah, you okay? COVID's not getting to
you. No, it's good. I think it's your memory, though. North Melbourne versus Geelong. Oh, Geelong. Bit of a hiccup last week.
Oh, well, I think Geelong are over the top, over the hill. They're too. They will not win a premiership in this. I hate the window of opportunity and all that. Geelong will win that game.
Yeah, they will.
They're not going to win a premiership, Port Adelaide aren't.
I agree. So Geelong for both of us. Gold Coast versus Brisbane.
Oh, Brisbane.
Brisbane by a mile. Richmond versus Melbourne. I thought Richmond Their era is over, isn't it?
Their era's gone as well.
Yep, Melbourne for me.
Melbourne comfortably.
Very nice side, aren't they?
Oh.
Going along sweetly.
And they're young.
Yes.
They're young.
They are young. Hawks versus Sydney.
I'm going for Hawthorn.
Going for Sydney. I don't mind Sydney.
Very, very impressed with the youth in the Hawthorn side.
Yeah, they're going to be a bit inconsistent, and that's always is going to happen with them. So, yeah, it looked good. I saw a bit of that game on the weekend.
Well,
and
that means I catch you by one.
Yeah, you have to, because you're about six behind. Essendon versus Collingwood.
Well, traditionally, they provide a very good Anzac Day game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, good clash.
I'm going to go Collingwood, but it would not surprise me if Essendon give it a shot.
Collingwood for me too. I think, I tell you what, that Mason Cox, they've got to get rid of him.
What a joke.
What is that?
But I cannot believe.
He can't even mark. He can't kick. He can't.
Even with his glasses.
Oh, and don't they look a sight.
But I can't believe that he's still getting in the side.
How can he be in? How could he make that side?
Maybe they can't afford to get rid of him.
I know he's on big bucks.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. It's some big American, you know, we're going to try and blood this American, you know. And it really hasn't worked for him.
Hasn't worked at all.
Okay, well, that's our tips out the way. Rick, have we got a little bit of a touch on the cricket? Have we got...
Well, there's only two sensational things. One is, which probably doesn't come as a surprise, but Joe Root. The great Joe Root.
Yeah.
Very, very good batsman.
Yep, he is.
He stood down as captain.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Now, the reality is that he's been painted as being a shocking captain, but... It's a bit like...
He hasn't had much of a side,
has
he?
I was going to say, you're about as good as the cattle you've got to captain, and he's had nothing. In fact, his track record as a captain, he finished up with just over 50% more wins than losses.
Yep.
But if you take into account the standard of the side that he's been trying to look after, it's probably a bit better. Anyway, I think you'll find that Joe Root being released or not being captain will, you know, shine again. Joe Root had a pretty ordinary series in Australia, but he's not the first bloke playing in Australian conditions.
Yeah.
Now, the big problem is...
What?
I can't believe you haven't received an offer already to captain England because judging on the lung.
Yeah. I reckon I'd get to 50 and I'd have to retire.
I wondered why they're delaying the announcement. They're probably waiting to see your recovery.
See how I go.
Yeah. Anyway, the big problem they've got is that we've already mentioned it, the standard of their Ashes team was deplorable, basically, bar one or two. The only, and I mean this seriously, the only bloke who is quality and more importantly guaranteed of a position in the side is in fact Ben Stokes.
Yep.
Now, I think generally speaking, he'd be a very good captain.
Yep.
However, the problem you've got is that a world-class all-rounder has got enough problems on his shoulders, let alone captaining a cricket team where the responsibility and making decisions on and off the field is enormous. And whether the captaincy will burden him and his performances will go down. if you look in the sort of modern era, England have had at least three quite famous all-rounders as captain: Ian Botham, Kevin Peterson, Andrew Flintoff, and none of them, despite they're all magnificent cricketers, none of them were very successful as captains. And, you know, it's a huge ask, and maybe, you can't just pick a bloke to captain a side if he's not worth his place in it.
No, that's right.
And so, although... I think it will be detrimental to the overall performance of England, but I think Ben Stokes has to get it by default.
Yeah, they probably won't ring me though, because I could bat and bowl too, so they probably wouldn't have.
No, I think ring me.
I won't expect the call.
Oh well, I would. Yeah. I think they'll give you a couple of months to recover, so they'll probably delay the announcement.
Oh well, could do.
I mean, unlike Australia, where we're just flushed with
talent. Oh,
what about? I think while you're in your COVID bed, it might have been just before.
I might have even heard some of these stories.
No wonder Aaron Finch is the Australian one-day captain. I mean, with a bloke who's got the analytical ability that he's got, I mean, he'd be a shoo-in. It's a wonder that England don't ask him to go over there and residentially qualify and he could get the Guernsey. I mean... Some sportsmen do make some very foolish comments, but I reckon this is as good as it gets. I mean, as you probably can recall, Finchie's last couple of series have been pretty average. 23-0-0, 8, 25, 25, 2 and 8. But he's got the ability, Phil, to sum up the situation.
What would that be, Rick?
Do you know what he said?
What?
It's just been the first couple of balls getting my pads in the way.
Oh.
Now, you'd never pick that from the noughts and twos and whatever, would you?
I know. Well, the wickets were too wide or something.
How good's that? I mean...
He's right on the money there, isn't he?
What I would suggest, not that he's rung me, I would suggest that maybe if he thought through it again, he might think of trying to use his bat.
Probably get caught in the slip.
How good a statement's that? It's only the first few balls that's getting me out.
Well, really?
It only takes one.
Yeah. Now, we are well over time, Rick. We're way over time.
All right, well, maybe.
Let's have a joke. We've got to have that joke.
We will. And it's a celebration.
You ran it through me before.
The long joke is a tribute to your comeback. How's that?
Your health and
comeback. And, you know, dear listeners, he is looking quite reasonable considering that I can't believe he's speaking so well with that oxygen tube.
Oh, you might have to give me mouth to mouth in a minute.
No, so. No, that won't happen. Anyway, four expectant fathers were in the hospital waiting room while their wives were in labour. The nurse came in and told the first bloke, "Congratulations, you're the father of twins."
Oh, congratulations. Well done.
"What a coincidence," the man exclaimed. "I work for the Doubleday Book Club." A little while later, the nurse returned and informed the second man, "You're now the father of triplets." "What a coincidence," he replied. "I work for Triple M Radio." The nurse returned a third time and told the third man, "Congratulations, your wife has given birth to quadruplets." "What an amazing another coincidence. I'm the producer for the Four Corners television series."
Yeah, yeah.
At that point, the fourth man fainted. When he came to, the others said, "What's the problem?" "The problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. I'm the coach of the Adelaide
36ers." I don't mind that. Hope Pete Matthews likes that one. He's been a bit critical of your jokes over the last couple of weeks.
Well, Pete, I reckon
I like that one, Pete.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, now that we're so over time, we've got to go. So until next time, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.